I had when I was a kid, and I found out that I'm an antique because you can't buy kaleidoscopes anymore, like what I had when I was a kid. Today's message talks about God is always the same. He never changes. And that kind of reminded me of the kaleidoscope I had when I was a kid, because you'd spin this thing around, look, and it'd get all these funny shapes and colors, and you could never repeat it. You could never get the same picture out of it. I did find something that's kind of like a kaleidoscope. It's a little prism. But if you look at the light, it makes different shapes and colors, and a lot of them are different. And if you look, I found out if you look at different things, you guys can have those, you can see something and it changes. It always changes. As you roll it, or whatever color you're looking at, or light, or dark, or whatever, it changes. It's kind of cool. You guys would have loved kaleidoscopes, so they were great. But anyway, today's message is God never changes. He always stays the same, unlike a kaleidoscope. And that's kind of how life is sometimes. Everything's always changing, isn't it? Sometimes it stinks, you know, but that's why we have God. That's why I have Jesus, because He never changes. He loves us so much. He's the same as He was 2,000 years ago and since the beginning of time as He is today, unlike a kaleidoscope. So if you guys mess with that today, just think about that God never changes. All these little things change in my eyeball, but God does not change. Want to pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for not changing and for continuing to love us always. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Today's reading is from Hebrews 13, 1 through 8, 15 through 18, and 20 and 21. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with sighing, for that would be harmful to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do His will, working among us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. I'm missing my paper. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. Will you join me as we confess our faith as the church in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So the author of Hebrews concludes chapter 13 and the whole letter and reveals what the letter was intended to be for the Hebrew Christians, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians that were among one another across the empire, but particularly for the Jewish Christians. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you, I think this is kind of funny, briefly. All 13 chapters, briefly. So when they would have received this scroll and gotten this letter as it was sent out and shared across the empire among the underground church, somebody would have gotten up and read it, and people would have sat or stood and listened to it as it was read aloud, just like a sermon. And as they were reading that scroll, even though the author of Hebrews wasn't there, whether it was Paul, whether it was Apollos, or possibly Barnabas or Silas, we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but as they would have read it, it would have been like for them that they were there. And they believed that that person would have been there because of the Holy Spirit. And so they would have heard this, and they would have read the whole book of Hebrews, the whole exhortation. Now, we've gone through Hebrews chapter by chapter, and today we are finishing our series. So throughout this summer, you've been through the whole book of Hebrews. Maybe if you haven't read Hebrews before, now you can say you've read another book of the Bible through this summer, through our time in worship together. So thank you for being here this summer. But he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. He says, I want you to know that our brother Timothy, who was Paul's ministry protege, his right-hand man, has been set free. So he had been preaching the gospel so much that it got people's attention, and some people didn't like it. And like Paul, he got thrown into jail. But now he's been set free. And if he comes in time, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. And so here I'm here today to just share God's word with you. Because there's so many good things that God says in Hebrews 13 to us that still apply to us today. And they're not just statements. A lot of them are imperatives. Or they're hortatory statements. That's where the word exhortation comes from. An exhortation is an encouragement, is a call to action, just like Miriam gave us today. And thank you so much, Miriam. I know you prayed on that for at least this week, maybe more weeks. But, brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation for you today as your pastor. So let's review from 2 weeks ago. We finished up Hebrews 12. And we talked about discipline. That God disciplines his children whom he loves. And if we don't accept God's discipline, then we might not really be his children. We might be pretenders or posers. But he disciplines his children, not just so that we would respect him like our parents. He disciplines us so that we might share in his holiness. God wants to give us, to give our church, to give you and I. He wants us to share in his holiness. That's why he disciplines us through life. That's why our faith is tested when we go through sufferings and trials just like Jesus. And so he wants us to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He tells us to pursue peace with everyone. That's not easy, is it? To pursue peace with everyone, and not just everyone here, everyone in our church congregation who might not be here. Pursue peace with our loved ones that might drive us crazy. Or maybe they've burned a bridge, or they've betrayed us. And we're called to forgive them, but it's really hard. It can be hard to pursue peace with everyone. And then the author of Hebrews also encouraged them to make sure that everyone, that no one fails to obtain or receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ. To make sure that no root of bitterness rises among them, rises among us, and creates problems. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been lingering on those verses as I've been praying for this week. That we should pursue peace with everyone. And we should make sure that no one in our congregation, in our families, in our homes, fails to obtain the grace of God. We don't want them to miss that grace of God in Jesus Christ that we experience through faith in Him. That life-transforming power of His Word and His Holy Spirit that spurs us on and keeps us going, no matter how many people are here today or tomorrow or the next week. We continue to press forward. We continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. Amen? He's the author and finisher and pioneer of our faith. He's finished the race and He's cheering us on like that coach from Facing the Giants when they did that death crawl. Give me all you got. So we are to pursue holiness as a church, without which no one will see the Lord, and make sure that none of us fail to receive that grace of God, and that no bitterness rises up among us and causes division or problems. And so let's go back to what Dale said. It's beautiful. I love this first verse. Let's read this together. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let mutual love continue. Let mutual love continue. Now we all still strive to love one another. Amen? That this congregation is worth fighting for, praying for, going through conflicts, having tough conversations, going to meetings we might not want to go to, being on committees we might not feel like we have the time to be on. But as we do that, we can let our mutual love continue. That we can welcome Christ in one another. And that we can be safe people and have safe spiritual friendships. Because the world isn't always safe. Now, I know sometimes we experience what we call church wounds. Where we might have conflicts or disappointments or pain or anxiety created from relationships in the church. But we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus. He's given us authority to forgive sins in His name and be reconciled. So we can, church, we can let mutual love continue. Let's go to the next verse. Let's say this together. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember what Jesus taught us in Matthew's gospel? When He talked about the sheep and the goats? And the sheep were the ones who, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you prayed for me to be healed. Lord, when did we see you? I tell you, whenever you did these things for the least of these, you did it unto me. Jesus is waiting for us. Not to just come here on Sundays. He's waiting for us to get out in our lives and to welcome the strangers, the people who are overlooked, the people that we might not have been seeing. And ask God and His Holy Spirit to give us compassion so we see people who are unseen or who are overlooked or who are lonely, who are grieving. We need to continue to show hospitality to strangers. And that's one of the things we did with that community meal. And I know we paused it right now, but that doesn't say we can't do it again in the future. If people are really committed to that, we can show hospitality to strangers and maybe entertain angels without knowing it. We're to remember those who are in prison as though we're in prison with them. Those who are being tortured or suffering as though we ourselves are being tortured or suffering. Maybe you know someone in prison, maybe you don't. Maybe you know some families who have a loved one in prison and the kids are at home with a single parent. Maybe you know someone who's in a different kind of prison, like drug addiction or unforgiveness, or they have too much stuff, or other things that keep people in bondage. We need to be willing to bear their burdens and to meet them where they are, not make them feel ashamed. Not that we do this, but sometimes this happens in life. When people have addictions or problems, we have to put up barriers or boundaries to prevent them from causing more harm. But then it kind of feels like they have this shame, and it feels like I can't come back to my family or to my group or to my work until I get my stuff together. But when it comes to those things that imprison us, we can't save ourselves. We need Jesus, and we need the people who follow Jesus to help us, to pick us up when we fall, to pray for us, and to be like that coach from Facing the Giants that says, "You can do it. We believe in you. We're here for you. I don't care how long it takes. I'm not giving up on you." We need to let mutual love continue for them too. And we need to let mutual love continue to honor marriage and keep it holy. Likewise, not just to honor marriage, but we need to honor those who are single or single parents who aren't married. Maybe they have to pay child support, or maybe they're waiting on child support. We need to pray for them and to support them. We need to make our own marriages, if we're married, a priority. And to remember that we made a holy covenant with God and our spouse. Through thick and thin, through better or worse, sickness and in health, till death do us part, for richer, for poorer. We need to let mutual love continue. We need to keep our lives free from the love of money. And not just money, but from the desire to gain, or that idea that I don't have enough, or I don't feel secure unless I have this and this and this. Our security and our provision is in the Lord our God. Amen? If God is our helper, the Lord is our helper, what can man do to you and I? We said that in Psalm 118. Amen? Amen. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And I love this. Be content with not just what you have, but I'm going to say who you have. Be content with who you have in your life. Because God placed them in your life for a reason. Maybe to speak truth to you, or maybe for you to speak the truth in love to them. Maybe the people who you have in your life right now might just be enough for you if you were willing to look for Jesus in them more. Maybe even if it might be hard to pay the bills, God still provides enough for you. I've learned that even when I don't have that much in my checking account after I pay all my bills, we still tithe. We still tithe. I've been tithing since I've been 22 years old. And God has never failed me. God has always provided. I've always had food. I've always had shelter. If I've been unemployed, God's helped me find a job eventually. I've learned. It's hard, but I've learned to try to be content with what I have and who I have in my life. And I want to thank God for helping me to experience a moment of contentment this summer. He gave me a contentment, not just with what I have and what I've been given, but who I have in my life. And God gave me a contentment for living here in Alpha. He gave me a contentment for the people here in this church whom I do love. And I have received your love. And it is such a blessing to be here and to be in ministry as a pastor, to say things to you like, let mutual love continue. And be content with what you have and who you have. That God has given us everything we need through His Holy Spirit and His Word and His people in our relationships. So that we can strive towards holiness. So that we can share Christ with our neighbors. Amen? So we can say with confidence, because Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So let's say that verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Maybe we should pray that this week in the car with our kids before school, with our spouses, with our friends, under our breath, and meditate on that. And keep praying that until that becomes a reality of faith in your life. He says to remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Spiritual leadership is not an easy thing because everyone's always watching. And if you're a spiritual leader to others in your life, they're watching you whether they say it or not. So are you giving them an example? Am I giving you an example to consider the outcome of life and to imitate that faith, hope, and love of Jesus Christ? Let's say verse 8 together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can bank on that. That is truth you can stand on. When it seems like life is always changing, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been with you from the moment you were born, and He'll be with you even past the moment that you die. Whether you're aware of Him or not, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's go to verse 15 and 16. And this is the one that stopped me in my tracks. Through Him, that is through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess His name. How many of you were here last week when Jared preached? He preached a great message from what I read from his sermon. And I was convicted by his sermon. He talked about if your pastor is having one-dimensional conversations and you're sick of him talking about Jesus and talking about the Bible and asking you about forgiveness and your relationship with God, you've got a great pastor. But if he's not doing that, he needs to do his job. So expect me to bring Jesus more up when we talk next time. And expect me to talk to you about your faith. And ask you a question that goes a little deeper than just how are you doing. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. And I think that's a word for us for what Miriam said. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We make a commitment as United Methodists, as good stewards, to give God our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen? Amen. Okay. Verse 17. This is the one I was scared to get up and say, but Dale said it, and you heard it. We need to obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them. I have to do that with my district superintendent and the spiritual mentors that I have as well. I'm not just the pastor of this church and I don't answer to anyone. I have other people that I need to obey and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over our souls. And we'll give an account to God. And so we need to let them do it with joy and not with sighing or anxiety. For that would be harmful to us. Finally, we need to pray for us, for all of us, that we would have a clear conscience. No guilt, no shame, no fear, no blame. But an assurance and a confidence of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.